unable to get back today, but because this is the beginning of the end of the year, I know everyone has different schedules when it comes May and June. Smicha guys obviously are going straight through, but some of the guys I think are maybe have internships and things like that. So I would love, if possible, if each of you individually can just send me a WhatsApp or reach out to me otherwise to let me know two things. First of all, what your plans are for the rest of this year, meaning if you're going to be with us through the end of the end of June, as we go through Ma'achalei Akum, or as much of Ma'achalei Akum as we're able to get through, and also what your plans are for next year, whether you're going to be in yeshiva, not in yeshiva, and if you're in yeshiva, which what you're going to be learning next year. I just want to try to be able to stay on top of what everyone is up to. So individually, if you wouldn't mind, I would appreciate that. Don't worry about flooding me with too many WhatsApps. It won't make a dent. So it's much appreciated. So thank you all very much. Okay, so let's get started on Pas Akum. So we're starting with Simon Kuf Yud Beis. We're not going to go straight. The goal is going to be Kuf Yud Beis and Kuf Yud Gimel, meaning Pas Akum, then Bishul Akum. Then we're going to jump to Tevilas Kelim and Hagalas Kelim. And then, if we have more time after that, we'll go back to the simanim in between. There are, about how many simanim you need on packaging and things, when the food is sent somewhere and things like that. All the Devarim Asur Mishum Sakana, the various halachos that we have in between. But the four most critical simanim, you could argue whether Pas is one of the most critical simanim, but since it goes together with Bishul, it becomes one of the more critical simanim. So the four most critical simanim are really Kufi Beis, Kufi Gimel, Kuf Chav, Kuf Chav Aleph. That's where the action really is. So that's what we're going to be doing. So today we're starting with some Kuf Yud Beis, which hopefully you all already know since you spent 3 hours in the Beis Medrash this morning. So presumably it was starting to work on the sugyos of Pas Akum. So the background to Pas Akum, or I guess the most fundamental question about Pas Akum, is really how connected it is to Bishul Akum. Is it one and the same? Are they two separate gezeros? What were the timing of these gezeros? Was one made before the other? Are the gedarim of these gezeros entirely different? Are they somewhat the same? Is Pas Akum Bishul plus, that it's subject to all the restrictions of Bishul Akum, and then it has additional restrictions? Is it Bishul minus? Right. So we're going to have to figure out exactly how Pas Akum and Bishul Akum relate. One of the ways to start figuring that out is to figure out whether there even is a gzeira of Pas Akum anymore. Meaning, we are fairly confident that the gzeira of Bishul Akum still exists. But I don't know, how many times have you in your life, outside of Asar Simei Tshuva, been super careful about Pas Akum? Right, you go to a restaurant, and if they don't have a mashgiach there turning on the fire, or for Sfardim doing even more than that, that's not a good thing. That's not a reliable hashkacha, and that you can't eat it. You go to a restaurant and they order rolls from a bakery where they have non-Jewish workers putting the dough in the oven. Doesn't seem that we have such concerns. So are we even sure that there is such a gzeir of Pas Akum? So obviously on the most surface level, of course we're sure, because it's a Mishnah. Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Hei, Eilu Dvarim Shelo Vichav Masurim Vein Isur Nisur Hana'a. The following is the list of things that are Asur, but the things that are associated with Nodi Chavim that are Asur, but the Isur is not an Isur Hana'a. And on the list are both Shlakos is another way of saying Bishul Akum, as well as Pas. So Pas is on the list of bread baked. I shouldn't say baked. Bread of a nachri, bread of an akum, I shouldn't even say nachri, bread of an akum is hapas, let's just say that, hapas, is on the list, hapas, and then we'll see what sort of assumptions we can make about hapas. So the Gemara in Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis, in Masechet Avodah Zarah, tells us, Amr of Kahana, Amr of Yochanan, pas lo hutra bebezdin. You should know that they were never matir the Isra Pas Akum. Now, why is that a chiddush? Why would I think they'd be matir? How many gzeres rabbanon were we ever matir in all of Jewish history? It's not something we typically do to be matir gzeros. Well, one of the items that they asked with shalav dichavim is shemen, and shemen they taka war matir. Bishul they weren't matir. Shemen they were matir. Where does pas fit? Is pas something that they were matir or they weren't matir? Is pas still a thing or is it not still a thing? So the Gemara starts out by saying lo udrav beveizdin. They were not matir and beizdin. So says the Gemara in such a Jewish logic, mechal dikam antashari. Ooh, why do you feel like you need to tell me that? It must be that someone thinks that it's mutter. It's like any time Tosa says ve'ein letareitz ve'ein lomer, don't say. So then you right away want to know which Rishon says it, because obviously, if he's coming to perform such a such a shita, it means that such a shita exists. So the Gemara makes that very same observation. You're going to tell me pasal hutra bebasin? Oh, someone thinks that it was hutar. Someone thinks it was mutar. So now you expect the Gemara to tell me. The Gemara says we do find that people hold it was mutar. So you expect the Gemara to be laden with examples of people that were matir pas. And here are the examples. Number one, the chiyasar of Dimi Amar. One time Rebbe went out into the field. And a guy, an Ovid Chavim, served him a certain type of bread. And Rebbe said, oh, that bread looks delicious. It's too bad. What were the Chavim thinking in answering such delicious looking bread? Maro Chachamim Mishum Chasnos. Rabbi, what kind of talk is that? What do you mean, Maro Chacham? It's exactly because you're salivating over it that they davka asked it. It's because of chasnus you're going to come to marry their daughters. Now, Ela Maro Chacham Lo Usra Besada. You say, why do they even have to ask it out in the field, where presumably you don't have the same availability to Jewish baked products? So if they don't have the availability of Jewish baked products, why did the Chum go so far in this Isser that they asked it even in the Sada? But that was Rebbe's polite way of saying, no thank you, I cannot eat this. So Kesvurin Ha'am Hita Rebbe Asapas. Everyone thought Rebbe was saying, not no thank you, that Rebbe was saying that we should be matirit, that it should be mutter. And maro cham losa means cham were wrong. Let's undo that. Whatever the cham said, let's change it. Velo he Rebbe lo hitir sa pas. But it's not true. Rebbe was never matir the pas. He was just lamenting. Why did the cham master? But Rebbe was never matir any existing gzeva. So it's a surprising Gemara, right? Because the Gemara starts out by saying, ooh, somebody must hold that it's mutter. Yeah, in! And I'll give you a story. And the story ends with, Velohi, Rebbe Lohitir Sapas. No one was matir anything. Okay, so the Gemara says another story. Rav Yosef Yitir Rosh Hashanah Bar Yehuda Amar, Lo Kacha Yemaisa. That's not how the story went. Ela Amru, Hamachas Halach Rebbe Lemakom Echad. Rather, a different time, Rebbe went to a certain place. V'ra'a Pas Dachuk LeTalmidim. And he saw that the Talmidim didn't have... That the Talmidim didn't have pas. He saw that they didn't have available bread to them. Nabuch. So Amar Rebbe, Ein Kan Palter. Rebbe said, what? There's no baker in town. So Kesvarno Omer Ha'am Lo Omer Palter B'Chavim. They assumed what Rebbe was asking was, you don't even have a goyish baker? You can't buy some entomins for these kids? Nabuch, why are these yeshiva kids without any, it better be a really big fire. Why are these yeshiva kids without any bread? How come no one's, we want everyone to be safe and whatever. Okay, it better be a false alarm. So, Kesvurna Amlomer, Paltar Al-Chavim, they thought that Rebbe was saying that we need a Paltar Al-Chavim to feed them. V'lulomer Al-Paltar Yisrael. Nah, he knew that a Paltar Al-Chavim is a problem. You can't have a baker that's an Al-Chavim. He was saying, Paltar Yisrael, another story that goes against the point the Gemara is trying to bring. Right? The Gemara is trying to bring a point that someone is Matir Pas, another version of the story with Rebbe, where Rebbe was not Matir the Pas. Now the Gemara says, by the way, even those who would be matir, a non-Jewish baker, that's only if no Jewish baker is available. But if there's a Jewish baker and a non-Jewish baker, you got to go to the Jewish baker. We'll have to come back to that machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan says, even those who are matir, the non-Jewish baker, that's only in the sada, it's not in the ear, because the first version of the story had Rebbe in the sada, and maybe being in the sada is a critical part of that equation. And then a third story. So Ivo was eating some sort of pas akum. Amlu Rav Vitem Rav Nachum by Yitzchak Lo Tishtau the Kochel Lachma Da'armai. we better not quote him in the Beis Medrash anymore because he's an eater of pas akum. He's someone that eats the pas of Armenians. So again, the Gemara starts off by saying there must be someone that's matir pas. In there is someone that's matir pas kiha, and it brings three stories. All stories come with the conclusion that no one was matir pas. That Rebbe was not matir pas in the first story. Rebbe was not matir pas in the second story, and Iva was rejected. He was almost thrown out of the yeshiva because he was eating. He was eating pas akum. So what emerges from this Gemara is three things. Number one, at least that there's a havamina that they undid the gezeira of pas akum, but everything that comes subsequently in the Gemara tells me that havamina is incorrect, that they never undid the gezeira of pas akum. Number two, there seems to have been some special exceptions made, at least according to some opinions, for a palter ovid chavim under certain circumstances. And we're going to have to figure out what those circumstances are, and do we paskin that way? That a palter ovid chavim is different than an individual ovid chavim? And what exactly are the circumstances where we permit a palter ovid chavim? And third thing is that apparently there's a penalty for violating pas akum, because this Iva was not anywhere, they weren't allowed to quote anything from him anymore because he ate pas akum. So apparently it was terrible enough that that we deemed the person not worthy of being quoted in the Beis Medrash. So as far as figuring out whether the gezeira of pas akum still exists, the first clue is that sugya, right? Where the Gemara starts out with this havamina that that someone holds it doesn't exist, but then three stories where it seems to still exist. Then there's a second clue, is Gemara Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara in Lamed Vav Amud Aleph says that shemen shalakum is one of the yudches davar. The sugyas at the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, that they were 18 gzeros that they made, that they took a vote, Rabbi Talmidei Beis Shammai over Talmidei Beis Hillel, and they voted in 18 gzeros, and they made their way into Klal Yisrael. So Shemen is one of the Yilches Davar. So in the context of Shemen, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, Nasi Yechi Matzil Mishra Takanta Talmidei Shammai VeHillel. The Yilches Davar were all takanos of the Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel, right? That's what the Gemara in Shabbos said, that they looked around the Beis Medrash, and some of the Talmidim of Shammai said, I guess the Talmidim of Beis Hillel were overseas for Pesach. They didn't make it back on the travel day, so Talmidim of Beis Shammai outnumbered the Talmidim of Beis Hillel. We better take votes on Talmidim of Beis Shammai Inyanim, and they won the vote on these 18 things. So it was the Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel, which is a very early Beis Din. So how could it be that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was matir shemen akum a gzeira that was made among the yudches davar va'atanan? Ein bezin yachal vata du bezin chaver olam ken gadol menu b'chachum minyan. The rule of being mevatel in earlier bezin is that you need to be gadol b'chachum minyan. Ve'od ha'amar abar b'chadam Rabbi Yochanan ba'kol yachal vatal bezin du bezin chaveru chutz mishman asa davar shafil yovei olio bezin rain shamalo. And even leaving aside that you need a bezin as gadol b'chachum minyan, which is, by the way, almost always impossible to find, right? Because Gadol, we believe in Yeridas Hadoros. So how is it going to be that generations later you're going to find a Beis Din that's Gadol B'chachma, unless it was some sort of subpar Beis Din in the earlier generation? Very, very hard to find a Beis Din that's Gadol B'chachma. What does it mean, Gadol B'minyan? Gadol B'minyan probably doesn't mean the number of Dayanim on the Beis Din, but they did have set numbers of Dayanim usually. But it probably means Gadol B'minyan, as the Rishonim discusses, Gadol B'minyan in terms of influence. So that you could have, they never had, a guy saying, Balabas saying a Daf Yomi Shir that 150,000 people listen to every single day, if you believe I don't know, whatever the numbers are. So the influence is overwhelming that people are able to have, whereas it used to be everyone was in their own little corner, and then eventually word got out. So, okay, Gadol B'minyan you could imagine. Gadol B'chachma, hard to imagine. But even if Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was Gadol B'chachma Minyan, his Beis was Gadol B'chachma Minyan, from the Beis of Talmidei Shammai VeHillel, but the Yud Ches Davar in particular, we're told, even Eliyahu HaNavi and his Beis Din could not be matir the Yud Ches Davar. So how are they able to be oker the gzeira of Shemen Akum? Still not a word about pas, right? Shemen Akum. So Amar Misharshia Matam Ha'olu Pashat Yisuro Berov Yisrael. Shemen Lo Pashat Yisuro Berov Yisrael. You know why we need such a sophisticated, such a prestigious Beis Din, or maybe even no Beis Din in the world of Eliyahu HaNavi's Beis Din would be qualified to undo a gzeira? of the Yilches Davar, because the Yilches Davar, for the most part, were Nispashe Perov Yisrael. But Shemin was not Nispashe Perov Yisrael. It was never universally accepted, and since it was never universally accepted, it's much easier to undo such a gzeira. Amrav Shalom Rabba, Amrav Yochanan, Yashar Avaseinu Batkol Shemin Shalo Pashat Yisur Perov Yisrael. They did some investigation. They sent out an email to all the rabbinic alumni. Would you mind taking a poll in your shuls and let us know how many people are makbid about Shemin Akum? And the rabbinic alumni are like, you know, no matter how, whatever, how from the community, even if it's not like the mixed swimming chevra, you know, the swimming on Yantiv, then no matter what, no one is observing this. The Shemin Akum thing, they're not. It just didn't make it out. Didn't make it. So the Samchu Rabbi Seinu, while Divrei Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel, while Divrei Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzaddik, Shoyu Omrim, Ein Gozrin Gzeira, Tzibra, Alim Kein Rav Tzibra, Yichon Lamed Ba, that you can't make a Gzeira. A Gzeira is not going to be binding. Rav Tzibra is not Yichon Lamed Ba, and trial and error has proven that this was an error, that this was something that Rav Tzibra Ein Yichon Lamed Ba. Again, so far, only really about Shemin. Damar Avad Bar Rav, and my cross, so it quotes a pasuk that it's got to be Hagoy Kulo, Yik Hagoy Kulo in, Ilo Lo. What emerges from that Gemara is nothing in particular about pas, but what emerges is the criteria that we would need if we're going to be Ochre pas. Right? If we're going to be Ochre pas, we're not just looking at a good reason to be Ochre pas. We need it to be Lo Nispashet Perov Yisrael, and that will make it a lot easier to be Ochre pas. So that's clue number two, whether we still have a Gezeira of pas Akum. Clue number three, Daf Lamed Zayin Amar Aleph, the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, grandson or great-grandson, I forget, of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Nasiya is just another way of saying Nasi, but the way to distinguish the grandfather from the grandson is one of them we call Hanasi, and the other one we call Nasiya. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya was going... leaning on Rav Simlai, Shameh, his Shamish. Amalei Simlai, lo yisya mish beis medrash kshishitarnu es shemin. He said, you know, I missed the big day in the beis medrash when we were matir the shemin. Amalei, b'yameinu tatir afes hapas. He said, we should be zeicher to see the day that we're matir the pas also. Meaning, I missed the big day when we were matir the shemin. Halavai, we should be matir the pas also. Amalei, imkein, Karulam Beis Din Ashari, not us. Let someone else do that. We don't need all the kulas coming from our Beis Medrash. Let some of the kulas. You get a bad reputation if all the kulas are coming from your Beis Medrash. So they're going to call us a Beis Din Ashari. It's not. Hey, Rabbi Yossi Ben Yoazer, Yisreida, Alayel Kamsa Dachan, Val Mashka Bismit Bachaya Dachan. About a couple of different things that they're Tahal, that they're Tara, Val Dikrav Misa Misav, Vekarle Yosef Sharia, and they called him Yosef Sharia because he was Matir too many things. So, you know, we don't want to be the people who are matir too many things. Implication, again, is that there's a struggle, that they thought that they should be Oker Pas. They thought it made sense to be Oker the Gzeira of Pas Akum. It was part of the discussion, but still no evidence that anybody was actually Oker Pas Akum. They said, we can't. We need to wait for someone else to do it. Did anyone else do it? Meaning, did anyone else come and say, okay, we're comfortable with this because we gave a really good chumrah of the month last month, so we think our reputation is safe and we're okay being matir pasagum? Right? Did you have such a thing? Doesn't say. Last clue, the Gemara in Lam Vavam Beis, the Chiyasa Rav Acha Bar Adam Rav Yitzchak, Gozer Al Piton Mishum Shmanan, that the Gozer Pas Mishum Shemen. Says Gemara, really? My only the shemen mipas. Why is shemen a stronger gzeira? That would have come first, and then they only made a gzeira of pas, a gzeira le gzeira, lest you come to violate shemen. Ella al pita neshamen mishum yeinon. No. They were gozer on the pas and the shemen mishum the yayin. Val yeinon mishum benosehen, and the yayin because of intermarriage, al benosehen mishum davaracher. And the intermarriage, because that's going to lead to davaracher, avodah zara. So apparently, Chazal said, you're not allowed to even eat kosher bread made by a non-Jew because you might come to drink his wine and end up marrying his children, then do avodah zarah. So, again, shemen was undone. Pas, in this Gemara, was hand-in-hand with shemen. It was alpita mishmanon. It was their pas and their shemen. That they were both kosher for the same reason, yet we undid one of them. Yeah, it doesn't mean we undid pas, right? We may have undone shemen because, for any number of reasons. One, just because maybe shemen was not in the spashe brov yisrael where his pas was. Or it could just be shemen was, you know, if we had to give up on one of them, maybe shemen is a more logical choice to give up on than pas is. So another way to those are the clues that we have in the Gemara in terms of is there still a gzera pasakim? The Gemara makes what emerges with clarity from the Gemara is that it was at least a discussion to undo the gzera, and that we have no clear indication that the gzera was in fact undone at any point in time. So let's go a little bit further into the history of this gzera of pasakim. The next step is not just the clues were they or did they uproot it or not, but the major Rishonim the major question that the Rishonim deal with is why was there ever bechlal a need for a gzeirah of pas? Meaning, if you have a gzeirah bishul akum, so isn't bishul pretty much the same thing as pas? Shouldn't pas be covered under the gzeirah of bishul akum? So the answer to that question may revolve around which one came first. Right, meaning if they first made the gzera of bishul akum, so you may be bothered. Why wasn't pas? You know, anything that comes out of a non-Jew's kitchen should be a problem, right? Why wasn't pas included in that? If pas came first, maybe they started with only the staple of the meal, which is pas, and then they saw that wasn't enough, so they included more things beyond the basic staple. So which one came first, pas or bishul? Also, are the rules the same when it comes to pas or bishul? Meaning, if an Ashkenazi person is perfectly happy going into a restaurant owned by a non-Jew, as long as there's a good Ashkacha, and they had a Mashkiach turn on the fire and the non-Jewish cook did the rest, right? So they know that there are only kosher ingredients coming in. It was all, the food was all owned by a non-Jew, the restaurant's owned by a non-Jew, the non-Jew did all the cooking, except for the Jew turned on the fire, right? Would we say the same thing about Pas? Would you say that a non-Jewish baker, meaning bakery owned by a non-Jew, and the non-Jew does everything except the Jew turns on the fire. Does that work for Pas? Yeah, are the gzeros the same? Meaning, and also, by Bishul, as we're going to see, Bishul doesn't apply to anything that's Eino Olal Shulchan Malachim. Any type of food that's not a dignified or sophisticated kind of food that will be served at a state dinner. We'll say it like that now. We'll get to Kuf Yud Gimel, whether that's the proper way to formulate it. But let's say that any food that would not be served at a state dinner is not subject to Bishul Akum, and even if it's cooked by a guy, that's a famously canned food, canned sardines, Chaznish and others, that it was a thing in Europe. Everyone ate canned sardines. I don't know why anyone ever ate any sardines, but apparently it was something that people enjoyed eating, or it was just an easy way to get your protein or whatever, and you know people weren't so into good tasting, not disgusting food back then. So people were very into canned sardines. So the canned sardines were cooked in a cannery somewhere, and not by Jewish people. Why? Because it's not all the pashtus, not all the shulchan malach. Right? That was the question, whether the Queen of England had sardines for breakfast also, just like regular people when no one was looking. But is it really not a little shulchan malachim? But again, we'll get to that when we get to that. But something that's not a little shulchan malachim, there's no problem if a guy cooks. Would you say the same by pas? What if it's a hot dog bun? A hot dog bun is not a little shulchan malachim. Let's assume, right, that I think when... They used to use the geder of Olah Shulchan Malachim by like what would the president eat, and then Donald Trump became the president and he became like famous for eating Big Macs for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So I think maybe the hot dog buns when he was president were Olah Shulchan Malachim, but they'd have state dinners with nice food and they'd serve him a Big Mac. So the question is, does that same heter apply to pas? So, again, our first point was just to go through the Gemaras to try to see whether the gzeirah of pas still exists, and what emerged from there is that probably, but there was definitely some tumult about it, right? Our second point is to try to figure out how pas and bishul relate. So there are two basic approaches in Rishonim. One approach is it's the same gzeira. The Sheilta seems to assume that it's all one gzeira. Sheilta kuf mem aleph da asal lahom le debes Yisrael le mechal bishule kutim rifta da afilar mai bisvar vekavra de matvilu armai. He says it's a gzeira that you shouldn't eat bishule kutim. You know, like bread that was baked by a non-Jew, and like meat and fish that was cooked by a non-Jew. all in one sentence, that it's all one package deal. The Rambam in Parakid Zayin Halacha Yud Gimel seems to assume that way as well, because the Gemara tells us that there are three different parts of the bread preparation process where if a Jew participates in them, that's going to be good enough. And the Rambam seems to assume that Jewish participation in baking works to save from Pas Akum, and it doesn't matter whether the bread is Jewish-owned or not. Meaning, by Bishul Akum, we don't care who owns it, right? Meaning, what matters is how it's prepared. So the Rambam also seems to assume, I don't care whether it's owned by a Jew or owned by a non-Jew, it's all about how it's prepared, which is very similar to Bishul Akum. It would at least indicate to us that has very similar gedarim to Bishul Akum. But the Ran explains in Masechet Avodah Zarah that the Rambam is holding that they're the same. It's gezeira mishum chaslus. It's one big gezeira mishum chaslus of pas and bishul. And the only reason that the Mishnah lists them as separate things is that there's a kula that will work for pas even according to Sfardim that doesn't work for bishul. And that is lighting the oven. If a Jew lights the oven, since the Gemara says that that's enough for Pas, so that's only for Pas, not for Bishul. Why is that enough for Pas? Because it's really all the same Geder. The Geder is that these things are usher because the guy is doing it for you. But if a Jew does a major part of the preparation of this food, then it's going to be okay. Well, turning on an oven is not a major part of cooking. But apparently, turning on the oven, lighting the oven, is a major part of baking. That when it comes to baking, it's considered a more significant part of the process of making the food. So it's a more significant action when it comes to baking. But that's the way the Rambam understands. That difference in halacha between pas and bishul is not because they're different. It's because they're the same. It's one gzeira. And so that a Jew has to do a major something, and just what's considered a major something when it comes to bishul is different than what's considered a major participation when it comes to pas. That's not the Ran's own shita. That's the Ran's understanding of the Rambam. If you learned the first Beis Yosef, you saw that that's clearly not the Ran's own shita, right? But that's how the Ran understands shitas haRambam. So again, one possibility, it's all one gzeira. Kulucha de gzeira. Pas, bishul, it's all the same. Second possibility, Tosfos. Tosfos and Daf Lamed Zayin and Beis, Dibra Maskel Vashlakos, quotes Rabbeinu Tam, that bishul and afia are two separate actions. And when we say that there's an isra of bishul akum, it did not include pas akum. So they needed a separate gezeira of pas akum. And guess what? When they made a separate gezeira of pas akum, it could have had its own rules that have nothing to do with the rules of bishul akum. And you know what it might have been? It might have been about the ownership of the pas, not about the baking of the pas. And maybe, and the Ran holds this way, the baking of the pas is subject to the rules of bishul akum. Because pas is bishul plus. It's that you have all the rules of bishul akum, but also it can't be under non-Jewish ownership. It has to be owned by a Jew. So you have to, just like we're doing research now about what factories and distributors and this and that is owned by a Jew or not owned by a Jew. I'm just joking, I don't do any of the research, but like I just say, probably better to avoid, you know? Suffolk comes from the Pesach's Mutter. That's generally, if you can't find any information about it, but information is not readily available, Suffolk comes from the Pesach's Mutter. But just like doing all that research, we'd have to look up, is Mr. Entman a Jew or not a Jew? You'd have to find out who the people are that own these bakeries. Who does it belong to? So Rabbeinu Tam says, Bishul and Afia, two totally separate gzeros. So you need two separate gzeros, because there's just saying that something is Bishul Akum doesn't necessarily make baking a problem. Rabbeinu Tam is based on the Halacha Be'erev Tavshilin. And in order to make an Erev Tavshilin, you need both a Pasa and a Tavshil. Because if you want to bake on Yantif for Shabbos, you need a pas. You need to start the baking process before Yantif. And if you want to cook on Yantif for Shabbos, you need to start the cooking process beforehand. Why can't you just have one and not the other? Because these are two totally different activities. They have nothing to do with each other. So therefore, says Rabbeinu Tam, you see, they wouldn't be included in the same gzeira, because la halacha, we view them as two totally separate activities. Unlike the Ri, who holds, you don't need what do we use typically for an Erev Tavshilin? An egg and a piece of matzah, right? Why? So I think the egg, I mean, you can use a piece of chicken also, right? Why do we use an egg typically? Because halacha is that it has to be a kezayis. You need a kazayis. So you can sit there measuring whether there's a kazayis worth of meat on the pulki. I don't know, but one thing you know is that a kibetz is bigger than a kazayis, right? So if you have an egg, you're pretty safe to have a kazayis. It doesn't meet everybody's shear kazayis, but you know, for the most part, you'll take a jumbo egg, you'll meet most people's shear of a kazayis, right? You certainly meet the Gemara's shear of a kazayis. So if you have something that's the size of an egg, it's obviously bigger than a kazayis. The matzah just is easier to keep around. You know, it doesn't go bad, and no one's going to have a desire to eat it prematurely. Like people talk about, oh, this matzah was delicious, that matzah was delicious. Yeah, you're eating it today? You know, like, delicious compared to, you know. Okay, so I give too many food takes. I gotta stop the food takes. Okay, so that's the right, that the re holds only one or the other. You can just have the egg, you don't need the matzah, and that's good enough for Erev Tavshilim, because baking and cooking, it's all the same thing, and therefore the gzeir of Pasachim and Bishalachim is all the same thing. The Binyan Shlomo on Tosus and Dibra Maskel Ashlakos points out that that is a unfair characterization of the Shitas Hari. Yes, the re holds, you only need one, you don't need both the egg and the matzah. But he is particular about which one. He does not hold that you could just do the matzah. It's got to be the egg. That bishul is inclusive of pas. A pas is not inclusive of bishul. So shlakos would work as an erev tavshilin to even allow you to bake things. But using a piece of matzah is not going to work to allow you to cook things. It's mefurish in the Gemara in Beitza Daf Tazayin. Lo shadu ele tavshil, aval pas lo. That it only works if you have a tavshil. Okay, but that's the fundamental machlokes we showed. Was it one gzeira, like the Shiltos, like the Ran's understanding of the Rambam, or are they two separate gzeiras like Rabbeinu Tam? Because Pas and Bishul are two, Afiyah and Bishul are two totally different things. And Melech HaShabbos, they're the same thing, right? But they're two totally different things from a Derabbanan standpoint when it comes to Erev Tavshil and when it comes to Pas Akum and Bishul Akum. Let's assume for a moment that they're different from each other. So again, going back in history, which one came first? Were they gozer pas first and then bishul, or bishul first and then pas? So this also is a machlokas rishonim. Rabbeinu Tam says it must have been that bishul came first. How does he know? Because the Gemara asks, mina hanimili, from where do I know that bishul akum is aser? It never asks for a makar for where pas akum is aser. So it must be that it's so old we forgot the source. That Bishul Akum is so old that we couldn't remember where it came from. And Minon Emili implies that it might be Doraisa, right? Meaning, the Gemara assumes that Bishul Akum might be Doraisa. Why would we assume it might be Doraisa? Because it's that old. Pas Akum, we don't ask Minon Emili, we know where Pas Akum came from, it's a Gezeira. But there's a Hava Mina that's Doraisa? So it must be that it's a very, very early gzeira. Pas Akum, we know where it came from. It was one of the Yud Ches Davar, right? So we know it was the Talmid of Shammai and Hillel. Why would they have initially been gozer on Bishul and not on Pas? So presumably because while Pas is more of a staple of a meal, Bishul is the more delicious part of the meal, right? No one goes to a fancy restaurant and comes out afterwards and says, the rolls were fantastic. If someone went to a fancy restaurant and they said, oh, you got to go there for your anniversary or whatever, because the rolls are fantastic, oh, go somewhere else. You know, tell me the steak was fantastic, right? Meaning that it's just a more appealing part of the meal. So that would mean that if pas was ever undone, then bishul was clearly not undone with it, because bishul precedes pas. It would take a lot more to undo bishul. The Ritva also says that bishul came first, and he says, yeah, they were gozer on bishul because, for a different reason, not because bishul is more delicious and more likely to lead to chasnus, but because pas is such chaye nefesh. How could they? They're going to make a gzera on pas. They're going to take away whatever people have. That's what people have to live. You know, you can take away the steak, you can't take away the bread from people, right? So it's a person's not going to be able to live. It's chayin nefesh of a person. We take that very seriously. The chachamim are not so quick to take that away from people. I just saw myself Riyata for the Rav Shaila Karastir that he at 1 year in Karistir there were no potatoes. All the potatoes rotted or whatever weren't available, and that's all they could eat in Europe. And they didn't have anything else. I mean, even most of what you eat on Pesach is really potatoes. They call it cake, but it's really potatoes in a different form with a little chocolate in it. Right? Meaning, it's just eight million different ways to make potatoes. So if they don't have potatoes, they can't have anything. So he went. He heard that there was a guy with a ton of potatoes a few towns over. So he loaded up a wagon with a bunch of potato sacks. He brought a few talmidim with him, and they went to the. And he brought a ton of money to be able to buy whatever the guy charges. And he went to buy the potatoes. So he got there and he said, "I understand you have a lot of potatoes. I'd like to buy them." The guy said, "It's not for sale. I'm not interested in selling it to you." So he said, "I have a ton of money. I'll pay you whatever you want." The guy said, "I don't want your money. I'm not interested in selling it." He said, "Name your price, anything." So the guy said, "I want your olam haba." He said, "Good, I'll sell you the potatoes for your olam haba." So he said, "Okay, deal. You have my olam haba." And he took all the potatoes and he went back to Karistir, and the people were able to eat over Yantiv. So word got out that Rav Shaila sold all of his olam haba. So they said, "How could you sell all of your olam haba for potatoes?" He said, "I'm the Rav of Karistir. If I go up after 120 years and on my cheshbon, under my watch, a yid in Karistir is starved, what's my olam haba worth anyway?" That's the achrayus of the Rav. That's what they call a chasidah shemaisa. Right? Is it true? Is it not true? Who knows? But it's a good chasidah shemaisa. It's got a nice message. You were all riveted. I saw it in your eyes. Like, what's going to happen with the olam haba? Was he joking? We get to that. Oh yeah. So the Ritva says that's why they were goes there first on Bishul and not a Pas, because Pas is too fundamental. The Ramban, yeah.
They were saying that there's a difference between Bishul and Pas. Would that also say that there's a difference between Bishul and
Sli? No, because we don't have a separate gzera for Sli, right? Meaning in the Mishnah.
Is that included in Bishul or not?
L'chor, it's included in Bishul.
So even though Afiyah wouldn't be included.
Right, because it's not only about mode, meaning baking your breaded chicken is Bishul. It's not about, meaning unlike in Hilchos Shabbos, let's say, right, it's not about mode of cooking, it's about item being cooked.
So Pasachim would also apply to like donuts?
L'chor.
Yeah.
No, meaning not deep fried. We'll have to get to that. Bagels, perhaps, also depend. That's a big discussion also. But let's say a babka, is pasak, because it's bread. You're making a dough in a bread-like way. All right, we'll have to figure out exactly what the Gedarim are. It's a good point. The Ramban says we got it backwards. The Ramban, Elamenheim, Bezin, and Avodah Zarah, says you got it backwards. Pas was first. And they chose initially to only be gozer on pas, because that's served at every meal. So there's a greater concern of chasnos. So that's the best way to keep people away from the gayim, is by asring the gayish pas. What are you going to ask for their steaks? I don't eat steak every meal anyway. So apparently what the Ritva and the Ramban are disagreeing about is what's more likely to lead to chasnos. That which is most special, or that which is most consistent. Right? Meaning that which is most likely to talk to my heart, or that which is going to be on a day-in and day-out basis is going to be all the time. The reason, says the Ramban, the Gemara only asks Minan Emili about Bishul, is that it was obvious why Pas was Aser. Because Pas is a staple. So the Gemara just wasn't sure, like, why Bishul was Aser. It wasn't even sure that it had anything to do with Chasnas. Because the real way to take care of Chasnas is by taking away the staple, by taking away the thing that's consistent. Once both gzeros are made, the Mishnah, though, definitely splits them, right? The question was it one gzera or two gzeros? If you know that it was all the same gzera like the Shiltos, Shiltos has to acknowledge that the Mishnah puts it as separate items on the list. And that's probably because if they were separate, if the gzeros bishul was earlier, so of course it has to split them, because you have to show me that that you can uproot a gzeros pas without uprooting a gzeros bishul. If Gzeres Pas was earlier, or if they were simultaneous, so why would the Mishnah split them? I mean, if you hold like the Shiltos that they came at the same time, or you hold like the Ramban that Gzeres Pas came earlier, so why would the Mishnah split them? So the Ran explains that the Mishnah splits them into two Isurim, because Pas is Asur even if a Jew does all the baking. so long as it belongs to a Nachri. Ooh, okay. So, meaning the Gedder of Pas is a very different Gedder, much more expansive than the Gedder of Bishul. That it has to belong to a Jew. And that's why the Rambam interprets the Gemara in Daf Lamed Ches, when the Gemara discusses how there are three melachos of making bread, and a Jew only needs to do one of those melachos. Yeah, that's assuming it's owned by a Jew. If it's owned by a guy, you're dead in the water. You can't get it. You can't get off the ground, right? If it's owned by a guy, that's pasakum. There are no heterim. If it's owned by a Jew, then you have to worry about the bishulakum side of things. So to get around that, any one of the three avodas hapas, that, so to speak, that are typically done with pas, can be done. Now, now that we have, I would say an understanding, but not really an understanding, at least we have a view of the breadth of shitos in terms of whether pas is a separate gzera, the same gzera, did it come first, did it come second, was it rescinded, was it not rescinded. So now we could look at what the Rishonim say in terms of whether it was ever taken back. Meaning we only saw what the Gemara said about whether it was ever taken back. Now that we know how the Rishonim view the history of the gzera, we could look at what the Rishonim say about was the gzera ever undone. So the Ritva writes, in the name of Ram Halevi, that the Gemara was only trying to prove, those Gemaras that we quoted before, where the Gemara said, oh, someone must have been Oker the Gzeira, and then it brings stories where Lohi to Rebbe Yisapas. The Gemara was only trying to prove that somebody once mistakenly believed that it was rescinded, but not that it was actually rescinded. That's all. The Ritva points out that that's difficult, because why would Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chelbo have a whole Shakla V'Tarya just to explain a mistake that people made? Right? Meaning if the whole thing was just one big error. So then the Ritva himself suggests, not quoting the Ram HaLevi, that they did rescind it, partially. For a palter, they rescinded it. And when we say pas lo hutra bebezin, we mean to say they were never formally matir. But because of chayin nefesh, the later bate din had to be mekil. And even though later bezin is not authorized to undo a previous gzeira, this was never really nispashet rov Yisrael. And since it was not nispashet rov Yisrael, they didn't really need a bezin to uproot it. Only required a bezin katan out of kavod to the earlier bezin, because it was never really a gzeira that took hold. And the Gemara goes to great lengths to explain what people thought, because they were only going to be matir the parts that people thought were matir anyway. I mean, that's the way the Ritva understands. That all this discussion in the Gemara is, what were people thinking? Which parts of the Gezeirah did people think still existed? Basada, Palter, yes Palter Yisrael, no Palter Yisrael. Because they undid the parts of the Gezeirah that people anyway assumed were undone. And that's what motivated, that's what drove the decision in terms of which parts of the Gezeirah to undo. The Ritva quotes his Rebbeim that the Gemara says on Lamed Zayin that they tried to get Rebbe to be Matir Pas, but he refused because he didn't want to be called a Beidina Sharia. So the Ritva quotes his Rebbeim, that's a Raya, that it must be Pas Hakum was not Hutar at all. But the Ritva says, I don't think it's such a Raya. Even according to the understanding that it was Hutar, it could be that they were looking to be Matir more than the Am was already knowing. And that's where he said, I don't want to be a Beidina Sharia. And that's where they stopped short. Meaning they were matir to some extent, but they just didn't go all the way. So really, by Shemen, they went all the way. They were matir entirely. But by Pas, they were matir somewhat. What were they going to be matir, says the Ritva? Whatever people thought they were matir anyway. And when they asked Rabbi, why didn't you just matir the whole thing? He said, because then I'll be a Beit Din Ashari. I'm not interested in being matir the whole thing. The Ramban is even bothered. Like, why not? Meaning, if you were Matir Shemin, meaning that at some point you have to make a choice between Shemin and Pas. Why would you choose to be Matir Shemin and not Pas? So the Ramban suggests, well, Chashash Chastos is a much greater Chashash with bread, so easier to get rid of Shemin because it's a staple of the meal. Or he was nervous that bread was too similar to Bishul, and if you're going to be Matir Pas, people will be Mezalzel in Bishul Akum also. So even though they may have been separate, but it's too similar. So that's the understanding. Why is it that the person who was eating Pas Akum was not to be quoted anymore in the Beis Medrash? So the Ritva explains that Mida Keneged Mida. that he was mezalzel b'divrei chacham v'takanoseihem. So we're not mekali sumechabed him in the Beis Medrash. We're not going to give him the kavod in the Beis Medrash. So at the end of the day, you have a machlokas whether they were not matir pas at all, or they were matir pas to a certain extent. The Ran learns that it's machlokas in the Bavli whether the gzera was rescinded, and Rav Yosef holds that Rabbi lo hitir pas akum klal, and people only mistakenly thought he did, like the Ramban, but others disagree with Rav Yosef and hold that they were matir pas. And when the Gemara is old shakla v'tari, it's working within the shita that they were taka matir. Because why would they have old shakla v'tari within a shita? Why would you have old shakla v'tari within a mistake? No, there must be a shita that they were actually matir, and that's what the shakla v'tari is all about. Yerushalmi is mefurish that they were matir pas. Yerushalmi assumes that they were matir pas. So the Rif brings Yerushalmi as halacha. Right, the Rif assumes they must have been matir pas. So the next step in the sugya, which we're not going to do right now, is to figure out what exactly, if they were matir partially, what exactly are these heter of palter oved kochavim, sada ein palter Yisrael. Right, what are the gedarim of these heterim? And then to get into the pesak halacha. Right? Do we paskin like that it was partially hutar? Do we paskin it was totally hutar? Do we paskin it was not hutar at all? How do we paskin halacha in Shulchan Aruch? So this is all Sif Aleph. So Be'ez Hashem on Sunday we'll get into Sif Aleph. If anyone has time to stick around, we'll do a little parsha now as well. Assuming you can find my notes.